This week, I'm going to challenge you to obedience in a certain area. This is a very important week for our church. Next Sunday, we hold our annual meeting in which we set some goals. We try to define what it is that we feel God wants us to do in the coming year. We make some plans on how we might accomplish those things. We set a budget that we hope in some way reflects the priorities that God has for us. And that's a very important time. And so I've designated this week as a week of prayer in which the congregation can prepare itself spiritually for that meeting. We as a church are congregationally governed. We have elders, we have deacons, but the decisions are made by the congregation. And it is entirely possible that an unspiritual congregation can make unspiritual decisions. And so I'm asking every person that is a part of this church, not just members, but every person that's a part of this church, to take a week and prepare themselves spiritually so that they can make good decisions. The leadership will give guidance. The congregation makes the decisions. And so I am challenging you to prayer. I've provided for you a guideline in your bulletin on the back of the chorus sheet. Just a way to pray every day this week. A way to spiritually prepare. We sang the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and you're going to need several sweet hours of prayer in order to accomplish what we need to do. If you'll notice on the schedule, Monday and Tuesday are given to personal self-examination and repentance. Monday, the scripture reading is Psalm 51. The theme is personal self-examination and repentance. Now maybe you're good at that and you already know where God's going to lead you. And that's good. If you think, boy, I'm not sure I know how to do that, we have provided in the literature rack in the back what's called Heart Searching for Prayer Preparation and Personal Revival. We call it our Heart Searching Guide. Some of you have been through this before. We, in our nights of prayer, we've occasionally used this. I've been using it since I was in college, and I use it because it is exhaustive. It is very, very effective at producing guilt. You say, thank you very much, and you want me to pick one of these up. Yes, I do. Because once it produces guilt, it allows for cleansing. If you're not aware that something is sin, you won't ask God to forgive it. If you don't ask God to forgive it, it remains as an area that's not cleansed. And so if you would like one of these, pick one of these up out of the literature rack. It will energize Monday, that first day of self-examination, personal repentance. Tuesday, Acts 2, 42 through 47, is self-examination and repentance as a church. Use the Acts passage to say, what is a church supposed to be doing? And are we doing those things? Or are there things that God has commanded us to do as a church and we're not doing them? And so you have the ability to ask God to forgive us. And we can do what's called corporate repentance as a church. Admit to God the areas where we as a church have been disobedient. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, 1 Chronicles 16, 7 through 36. This I would like for us to have as a day of praise and thanksgiving. After the first 2 days, we'll need an up day, in which we praise God for what He's done, we thank Him for what He's done. And remember, we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting that meets at Pastor's House. If you're not involved in the youth and you're not involved in leading Awana, that's the prayer meeting that you should be at. And this week I'd like Pastor's House to be packed. Maybe they'll have to have prayer meetings in different rooms because not everybody will fit in one room. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been there. But come to that meeting, and the focus will be on praise and thanksgiving. Thursday and Friday, I've allowed 2 days for prayer for members of the congregation. We have a directory. This thing changes on a weekly basis, but it's a good start. As I look out over the congregation, I see probably 5, 6, 7 families that aren't on the copy of the directory that I have. Okay. So you may look around and notice who's here and who's not here, and you may need to add some names to the directory, but this will be a good tool to help guide you in praying for other members of the congregation. You can look around this morning and see people that are here, make a mental note to pray for them as well. But we have Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 passages that talk about the body of Christ, and we want to be praying for each other. And then Saturday, first of all, I want to remind the men that we do have a prayer meeting every Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, Bill Kellerman's house. The numbers have dwindled a little bit over the holidays. If you're going to be at one in the near future, this Saturday will be a good time to be there as we come together. Ladies, we have several that meet. We have one that Holly does Tuesday night. Okay, there are ladies that have regularly been meeting then. But if you want to take the initiative and call several ladies together and say, when are we going to get together and pray? Go ahead and do that. If there is one of the ladies in the church that you respect as a leader, call them and say, when are we going to get together and pray? Let them take the initiative and say, I don't know, well, let's do it. But ladies, go ahead and do that. The men, we've got our regular time, so men, be there for that. But we need this time of prayer. We want God's hand to be free to do what He wants to do with our church. And that happens through prayer. This morning, I'm focusing on the prayer that we're going to be doing Thursday and Friday. I want to give you some specific ways that you can pray for each other. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. The copy of the directory that I've been using has 6 pages. So it's going to take a while to get through every one. And the things that I'm going to give you, you could pray each of these requests for every person. And if you have the time to do that, especially I want to ask our seniors. If you are retired, you don't have much perhaps in the way of income like you used to, you'd like to give a lot more, but the resource that you have more of perhaps than anybody else's time, please give us of your time this week to pray. That is something special that you can do as a ministry. Give us of your time to pray this week. And whereas some of us might be really scrambling, if you have the time to give to prayer, please give it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 9, it says this. Paul is speaking and he's thinking about his thoughts and the way that he feels and how much he loves this church that was in Thessalonica. And he says this, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we might see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else just as ours does for you. May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we have some idea how important it is to you that we pray and that we pray well. Lord, I pray that you will instruct our hearts this morning out of your word, so that as we give ourselves to a week of prayer, that we will pray fervently and effectively, as it says in James. Lord, I pray that you will convict us of our disobedience when it comes to prayer, how little of it we do and how much of it is not heartfelt. Lord, I pray that you will use this message this morning to encourage us to a week of prayer that is effective. Lord, even that's impressive in your sight by the way the church comes together to pray. We pray that you will do that in us in Jesus' name. Amen. As you pray through your directory, and I'm not sure I mentioned, we do have extra copies out in the literature rack as well. So if you don't have a current, if you're still using the one with pictures in it, you need a new one. So you can pick up one of them. If we run out there, we have more copies in the office. It's nice to have just for calling people, but we're using it as a prayer guide this week. But as you go through that, you will find that people fall into different categories, that you won't feel the same about everybody that's in the directory. And what we are going to see in 1 Thessalonians, like I said, is you can pray all of these requests for everybody. And if you have the time to do it, do it. But you may find that as people fall into categories, you'll find that one of these prayer responses is more effective or more appropriate for some people than for others. So what I'm going to do, I've got five categories, and I will give you the category of people, and you're going to say, well, yeah, this person, as I look at their name, it falls into that category. Then I will read the verse, and then I'll give you a prayer response. So we'll have five categories of people. I will read for you the verse, and then I'll give you the prayer response that might be appropriate for those that you find in that category. The first category that we're going to find as you go through your directory is people that have been a blessing to you. You're going to go through the directory, and you're going to find a name or two or four or five of people that have ministered in your life. They have contributed something to your life and your growth. Verse 9 says this, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you?" You'll be praying and you'll see certain names and you'll just want to rejoice and thank God for that person. And that's the first prayer response. When you find somebody on the list that has been a blessing to you, thank God for them and rejoice. Can you imagine being the only Christian that you know? We have people in the congregation who have come to know Christ either through a preacher that they saw on TV that started convicting them and they came to know Christ that way. We have some that through the ministry of the radio, listened to the radio, began to be convinced of the truth of Christianity and accepted Christ that way. But can you imagine if you received Christ that way and you didn't know any other Christians? How hard it would be to live for Christ. How hard it would be to keep that fervency for Christ without a body around you, without other believers who were standing firm, without the encouragement of seeing others walking in the faith. It would be very difficult. And yet when we come together as a body, each person here is an encouragement to another person. I received a Christmas card this week from one of the people that I had known in Philadelphia, somebody that hadn't been to church in 20 years, somebody who had given up church. They'd written it off. They had had enough bad experiences with churches that there was some faith there, but they really weren't interested in going back to church. We met in their home. We had a Bible study. They rededicated their life to the Lord and being used by Him. They came and they were dependable in the years that we were there with a new church, trying to get it off the ground. And that new church that we tried to plant didn't last very long. It was there for 4 or 5 years and then closed the doors. This person sent me a card letting me know that they're still going to church, that they made the connection with one of the other Grace Brethren churches in the area. Didn't have to be a Grace Brethren church. There were other good churches that they went to for a while, but they're remaining faithful. And that was such an encouragement to me. It strengthened me to say, boy, if they're still walking with the Lord, then I need to be walking with the Lord as well. And by your faithfulness, you can be a blessing just by showing up. If you ever sit Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or have a Bible study and you think, you know, nobody's going to care whether I'm there or not. Imagine coming to church. The lights are off. The doors are locked. And on a Sunday morning, you're the only one that shows up. What would that do to your faith? You think, boy, it's not worth it. Everybody else quit on me. I'm just going to go home. But you're standing there and that second person shows up. And all of a sudden, you're not alone anymore. There's two of you. If you come and you're by yourself, you'll probably turn around and go home. But if there's two of you, you'll probably say, you know what? There's two of us. Let's go ahead and pray together. Let's go ahead and read the Bible. You read the Bible and I'll pray, or I'll read the Bible and you pray. And then a third person comes, and a fourth, and a fifth. And you start to be strengthened in your faith, saying, you know what? I'm not alone. There's other people that are trying to live for the Lord the same way I am. And you find encouragement. So the first group that you're going to find is people who have been a blessing to you. When you come up to their name, thank God for them and rejoice. You keep going and you keep praying through different names. And some names are going to jump out at you in the second category. And these are people that have a need. As you go through your directory, hopefully you're going to be close enough to people to know what their needs are. And they fit in the category of people that have a need. Verse 10 says this. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we might see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. When you come across someone in the directory and you know that they have a need, your prayer response is to ask God for a way to encourage them and meet their need. Ask God for a way to encourage them and meet their need. When you come to church, are you primarily focused on what you need and hoping that somebody is going to come and meet your need? Or are you aware of the fact that everybody that comes has a need and you might be the one that God is going to use to meet their need? That there might be somebody else coming in who has had a worse week than you've had. And they need encouragement. And when you go up to them and say, you know, I'm glad you're here. It is so good to see you here that you've met their need. You've made them feel like somebody else in the world cares whether or not they live and die. That's fairly easy, and you can do that. It's interesting when Paul says, night and day we pray most earnestly that we might see you again. We know historically that that never happened. God said no to that prayer. He said to Paul, you're not going to have the opportunity to see these people again. But God did answer the second part of the prayer when he said, and supply what was lacking in their faith. God answered that prayer through the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. God used Paul as a resource to supply what was lacking in their faith. And God can use you as a resource to supply what somebody else is lacking in their faith. Every person that comes on a Sunday morning represents a set of resources and a set of needs. When you came this morning, you were a set of resources and you were a set of needs. And the way that God has designed the body is He doesn't give you the resources to meet your own needs. He gives you the resources to meet somebody else's needs. And He gives somebody else the resource to meet your needs. So if you come in and you are unwilling to be a resource, then it's very likely that somebody else will leave church in the morning with their needs not met because your resources, God wanted to use them to meet their needs. And so as you pray for people, you will know that some of them have a need. And the first thing you need to pray for is, God, am I the resource that meets that person's need? Can I encourage them, or is there something that I can do to meet their need? When you come Sunday morning, you can come with the assurance that somebody needs you. Isn't it nice to be needed? Somebody in this church needs you. That's why you need to be here. That's why you need to be spiritually equipped when you come to minister to others. God distributes gifts in the body of Christ according to His purposes. And you might be the supply that somebody else needs. So the first group, if you didn't catch it, was people who have been a blessing to you. Your prayer response is thank God for them and rejoice. The second group is people that you know have a need. Your prayer response is ask God for a way to encourage them or meet their need. The third group, and for some of you, this will be the largest group, and that's not a good sign. The third group is people that you don't know very well. There will be people on that in the directory that you don't know at all. Verse 11. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Paul loved the people in Thessalonica so much that he wanted to be with them. He said, God, I'm praying that you will clear away the obstacles so that we can get together. Your prayer response for group three is to ask God for an opportunity to get to know them. When you find somebody in the list that you do not know at all, mark that name and ask God for the opportunity to get to know them. It's interesting that Paul asked God to clear the way because there are obstacles to getting together. And sometimes you'll have to pray, God, what are the obstacles that keep us apart? Why don't I know this person? Is it because of my lack of involvement? Is it because I really don't care? That when I come, I'm so wrapped up in myself, I'm really not interested in meeting new people when I come to church. Ask God to identify the obstacles that keep us apart, and then ask Him to remove them. And you may have a list of appointments that you need to make. If you're not sure, work through your ABF. Talk to somebody in your ABF or your ABF teacher or leader, or come to one of the elders or deacons or pastors and say, while I was praying, I discovered I had no idea who this person is. Can you point them out to me? We'll all be happy to do it. And then just go up and introduce yourself. God convicted me that I didn't know who you were. I found out who you are, and I just want to let you know that I prayed for you. We can all do that. There's a fourth group. The fourth group of people is people that you know and don't like. No, I like everybody. We're commanded to love everybody. But you're going to find people on the list that you don't get along with as well as you do other people. And you know what? That's normal. It's human. It's not particularly admirable or spiritual, but it's normal. Verse 12 says this, "May the Lord make our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May our love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else." When you run into a person on the list that you don't like, here's your prayer response. Ask God to give you an overwhelming love for them. He can do it. God is able to change the way that you feel about people. And so when you hit someone and you go, "This is part of our church and I'm commanded to love them, but I really don't have any emotional feelings for them at all. In fact, I don't even like to spend time with them." Ask God to change your heart for that person and give you an overflowing love for them. Ask God to give it as a gift. Because you really can't manufacture those feelings. You have to ask God to change them. But there is something that you can do. There is a way that you can help create feelings of love and appreciation for somebody when you don't have them. Here's the key. Make a commitment. Put a mark beside their name and say, "Within the next few weeks, I am going to do something loving for that person." That's the way that you create those feelings. Whether or not they respond, notice, or appreciate it, as an act of faith and obedience before God, I am going to commit to do something loving for that person that I don't really like. If you do that, you take the first steps and open the door for God to change your feelings towards that person. There's a fifth group. You will recognize certain names in the directory as people who are leaders and teachers. You may notice, "Oh, that's my child's Sunday school teacher," or "That's my ABF leader," or "That's Pastor Federhoff, that's Pastor Steve, that's Bob, that's somebody that I think is a candidate for an elder, that's somebody that I know is a deacon, that's somebody who is the church secretary." You'll recognize certain names as being teachers and leaders. Verse 13 says this, "May God strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." When you recognize a name as a leader or as a teacher, here's your prayer response. Ask God to give them strength for holy living. Ask God to give them strength for holy living. When you come across my name in the directory, pray for me that God will strengthen my heart so that I will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. You know what? We don't want any fakes leading and teaching in this church. I have heard too many stories about, "Well, this person's a Sunday school teacher and they may talk about heaven on Sunday, but they live like hell the rest of the week." We don't want that here. So pray for your leaders and teachers that there is no significant difference in their lives between Sunday and Monday. That everything they teach, they practice. That you can look at their life and, you know what, you're not going to find perfection, but you should find integrity. You should find honesty. And you should find growth. We have done a lot of work behind the scenes in the last couple weeks with our leadership because we're not perfect. But I can stand before you and say every person who is an elder is being considered as an elder, who is a deacon is being considered as a deacon, that I have full confidence. I have seen it demonstrated that when they are confronted with Scripture, when God convicts them of what the right thing is to do, they will do it. I've seen it in practice. That's why I rejoice at being able to be a part of the leadership here, because of the integrity of the men that are in leadership. But you need to pray that it continues, because it's constantly under attack. Satan would like nothing better than to discredit the leaders here, because if he does, then Christians get to say, well, there's another hypocrite. I'm okay living my life because look at them. So when you hit the name of a leader or a teacher, pray that God would give them the strength for holy living. Those who accept those positions have a greater responsibility, and you need to pray for them.